Hey, welcome back to Comedians Fixing America. Fixing America. I think we're episode 7 of Fixing America. And America's not fixed yet. What the hell? I guess it's good at dodging our Molotov schlock tails. This is the podcast where we review what happened last week in America and we fix it. As comedians, like, here's our suggestions. Sometimes we're just going to hit it with jokes and maybe that'll fix it. I'm Dr. Dan, American comedian, founder of Comedian Americans. And we are going to do the stuff. I have joke OCD. I used to do this for a living, of turning everything that happened into jokes. And I got paid a lot of money for it. Now I do it for free with my buddies, which brings me to my co-host this week. Good friend of mine. Like, you're probably my oldest friend in stand-up.
Yeah, I would say besides Cody and Joby, and I think you may even precede Joby. But yeah,
well, you were in Nashville doing.
Yeah. I started with Nashville with Joby and TS and Cody, but I'm from Louisville, where you started. So
right, but so I think Mike Chandler precedes you. I knew Mike before you. Yeah. There's a podcast for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lawrence Thomas sitting down there in Manhattan Beach in his fashion attire.
Yeah, just got out of the pool, man. This is a surf locker. Look at this. This is so I can change my clothes on the beach and nobody sees my soft bits.
Oh, so like that's the big kind of blanket thing that you can just.
Yeah, it's like a terry cloth poncho that goes below my knees. It's totally fashionable. When I moved out of El Porto, this guy that always comes into OB's, the bar I work at, was like, "What, you're moving out of El Porto?" He goes, "You are El Porto. What am I going to do without seeing you on my way to work walking around underneath that dumb poncho you wear? And I know you're naked under there."
The I'm human like, tent. Just wearing a tent, people.
Exactly. I'm like the male California version of those cutouts of old women bent over in house coats picking weeds in their front yard that you see all over the South. That's me, man.
I think one of the things I admire about California is it can take the ugliest, dumbest trends and somehow make it still hip.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, you do that in Georgia or Alabama and the whole country's like, what a bunch of...
What a damn tree-hugging bastards. Get Newsom out of there.
Yeah, so here we go. Let's do some news. You're in California, and the California re-election recall failed, right?
It was going to. I mean, it was stupid. He's out in a year. Why are we wasting money? Like Larry Elder, of a talk show host, who thinks slave owners should get reparations. That's the guy. That's the oh, he's going to save us. You know,
that's awesome, though. Like, just the fact that the right has figured out this flaw in democracy of block every single thing, go after every single thing, no matter how stupid it is. If there's any administrative vulnerability, exploit it.
Yep.
You know, it just destroys democracy. You can't do anything.
Which they say they love more than anybody. We love democracy and America and blah, blah. You know, it's just stupid. You know,
grabbed all the words, right? They grabbed patriot. Like, what now? Patriot is somebody who won't take a vaccine.
Right.
I wanted to see the guys, you know, in the Continental Army tell Washington, the general, "No, man, I'm a patriot, and I know I'm in your army, but I'm not taking that smallpox vaccine."
Right. Yeah. Washington just shot him.
Yeah, he would just shot him. It's like, okay, fine. Didn't they used to hang people for that shit? It's like, yeah, great. We'll just hang you. Right. Turns out everybody else will take the vaccine.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole vaccine thing. We don't know what's in there. You have fake tits, lady.
Do you see the picture of Nicki Minaj, like when she was 20, and then after she's gotten all the fluid buildup in her butt and everything else? And they're like, yeah, you're the person who's afraid of untested needles in your body?
It's ridiculous, you know. You don't know what's in anything you put in your body, but the vaccine is the thing that really scares you.
Sure. Yeah. That's the piece of science that you truly understand. All the other stuff, the electric lights and everything, that's all. That's cool. Yeah. But that.
Yeah.
The most advanced piece of vaccination science on earth ever developed.
Right.
And you don't trust it.
The closest thing to peer review you got was peeing in the urinal next to your drunk buddy. That's your, hey, there we go. We
hey, you something. Win. How about that? anything like, what was it like being in California during all that? Because again, like, I live in Texas, so every time Texas does something inflamingly stupid, I literally get emails from people all around the world to be like, hey man, is it, are you okay in Texas? I'm like, yeah, I'm a white dude. What are they going to do? I'm not getting an abortion.
I get, cause I work at a bar that's, you know, it borders, you know, you got, it's like half and half. Half the people are, you know, crazy right-wing nuts that are, don't say it out loud, but, you know, what about this Newsom guy, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm like, what? You hate Newsom? I'll argue with anybody about anything. But they were all, you know, people from Texas. I got a friend from Texas who's, you know, to me, he's a crazy right wing. I love the guy, but he's a right wing nut, I think. You know, and I'm kind of middle of the road. I'm not the most liberal guy in the world, you know. But, you know, he's all, what is this? Is this true? And he shows me a picture of a homeless camp. You know, I'm like, yeah, it's true. I go, you know, who's it that, was it Marmel that had the bit about, of course we have homeless people because we got no winter? You know, I mean, it's, you know, we're going to have more homeless than anybody because we have no winter. Yeah,
Austin's kind of the same thing. Like, there's no real cold here. Like, every once in a while, like last year, all the homeless were like, when it froze here, you might as well set off like a bomb in the homeless population. They're like, what?
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, we're going to have more homeless. Yeah, there's a homeless situation. There's also been a pandemic for 2 years. And, you know, but I mean, I'm like, our numbers are fairly decent as far as, you know, infection and all that stuff goes, you know.
So what would you do? So we're doing Comedians Fixing America. What's Lawrence's solution to the vaccine issue? Like, what would you do?
What would I do to make people get vaccine?
Yeah, like to, would
vaccinated,
you
love to vaccine?
To keep it going as it is, you got choice. What would you do? What is your comedian solution?
You know, just, I like the mandates. You can't travel. You can't fly. If you don't, you're not vaccinated. You know, if you want to, you know, hop in your Calistoga and drive across the country with your, you know, your natural born immunities and go right ahead, but you're not getting on the same plane sitting next to me, you know, and I would say you have to, I would say take rednecks' kids away from them for about 2 years. And I'm sure they're loving me on this, and make them travel the world. You know, just take them and go see where other people live, other than, you know, the watermelon crawl, listening to bullshit Florida Georgia Line, crappy country. Make them listen to good country music, not the shit, and make them go see that there's other people in the world. And, you know, you don't get to talk on science if you're not from, you don't know science. Shut the fuck up.
So forced travel. You would do forced travel. It's like Israel, where you got to spend 2 years in the military.
Exactly.
If you're in the South.
Which I'm not opposed to here either.
If you're a redneck, you have to spend 2 years in liberal communities.
Right. And if you're, you know, if you're crazy, you know, if you're eating bean curd every day and you use patchouli oil.
I think they would, send them to conservative.
Send them to Appalachia. Let them work in a coal mine for a little bit, you know.
Hell to the yes.
We need a mixing. I don't even think people are, this is a radical idea.
Maybe it's busing. Maybe that's the new form of busing. It's not race. It's politics.
Exactly.
We're going to bus you down to Georgia.
Right. Yeah. I'll go further. I don't think people ought to be able to have their own children anymore. I think men should all get together and jerk off into a big vat. And then when you want to get pregnant, you make love to your wife, but then she dips into the vat and takes out a thing and with a turkey baster. And then you just get what you get. And it's like, well, look at that. That is a beautiful shade of almond. We don't know what kind of baby that is, but we love it because it's our baby. That solves the whole problem.
I like it. We destroy the concept of race with a big vat of spooge. It's beautiful, Lawrence.
Right. You might have to spin it every once in a while. Just now, I don't know if it's a national vat or we have smaller regional vats, but you have to.
Now, see, I made the argument, a similar argument, but different for a while. Like Einstein, Like when you had Einstein around, we should have just milked that guy 24/7. It should have just been a massive supply of Einstein sperm. And every woman on the planet had to have at least one Einstein baby before she could have a regular baby.
Yeah.
Because we need to move the species up.
Yes.
We'll take the smartest guy we know, take his, you know, seed amongst what, 4 billion women.
Right.
And sooner or later, we'll get somebody three times as smart as Einstein. They'll figure everything out.
Exactly. And he might also have only 4 teeth. That'd be good. This smart, super smart guy's like, oh, what do we need to do?
Who cares? But I just like the image of him working an equation at the board. Like there's women jacking him off 24/7. And he's like, and E equals MC. Ah!
Well, you know, you're not far off. Cody, I happened to mention Cody Stan here. You know, he grew up working. His dad was in the Rodeo Hall of Fame, this whole, you know, and they had a champion bull. I forgot the name of it. And it was like getting $100,000 a pop, you know, and it broke its leg. And they put a hoist around it and hoisted it up in the barn and just jerked it off until it was dry. And wouldn't do it anymore. And so now whenever Cody sees like when they're selling old Elvis records and stuff like that, he calls it jerking the bull because they're making money off a dead thing, you know. But you know, it's not, all I'm saying is your Einstein idea is not out of the question.
Yeah, I, you know, everybody puts down genetic engineering and because of the Nazis, you know, the Nazis just weren't very good at it. There are ways to do it that makes sense and yeah, humane and would improve the species. Just more intelligence across the board would do a lot for
who's us. Hotter than Halle Berry? Look at her. She's like this great mix of different shit, you know? You know, and I like her, you know, the good thing is you'd still have race because sometimes every once in a while, the dipper goes in, you get somebody looks just like you. Yeah, you know, there you go.
But you at least destroy the concept, right? Because you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Like
you have no idea.
Got 23andMe and it came back like, you know, singing Appalachian albino songs. We were so white. It was like white.
Oh, see, I was completely Celtic except for 1.9% sub-Saharan African. So I got a little street cred.
Wow. 1.9%. What part of you is that? Maybe your shoulder or...
I've got great nipples. It could be my nipples. I don't know.
You got African nipples, man. How'd you get those African nipples?
I've got calves. My calves.
That's what it is, dude. Those are sub-Saharan calves.
My fast twitch calves.
Those calves could run, you know, the desert after a gnu for hours and hours.
Oh.
All right. So we'll start there with California and the vaccines and all the crazy. It was the 20th anniversary of 9/11 this week, this past week. What did you do to celebrate? Did you like make a two-tower cake and knock it down?
You know, I didn't even really talk about it this year. I mean, everybody was talking about it. And I was just like, you know, somebody goes, where were you? And I told the story. You know, they were doing that whole documentary about, you know, when was it okay to laugh again and do comedy again? I go, that night. Because I was in the Bahamas, me and Kid Dave Miller.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you were out of the country.
Yeah, and they were like, I go, are we going to do a show? And Richard's like, hell yeah, we're going to do a show. And I guarantee you that Kid Dave told the first 9/11 joke because he did it that night, man. He got on stage, you know, and he gave the MC is Naughty, who's a Bahamian guy who, you know, he was like, I don't want to do it, you know. And I'm like, all right, well. And so Kid Dave wrote a little thing. And he, you know, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know what happened today. You know, this is all from backstage. He goes, you know, we can let these bastard terrorists win or we can go, we're Americans and we're on vacation. God damn it. We're going to have a good time. And he brings up Naughty and Naughty does like 2 minutes. Just like, boom, 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 boom. And he's off the stage. And there's only like maybe 20 people in the audience. And then Kid Dave gets up there and he goes, you know, he goes, I guess you know what happened, blah, blah, blah. He goes, the bad thing is that they were aiming for Kathy Lee Gifford's house. And I had to be the first 9/11 joke, man. And then I went up and did my set, you know, and we went to the Jungle Bar. And in the Jungle Bar, there were two guys pontificating, these German guys saying it's America's love of the Jews that made this happen. We're like, hey, motherfucker. And we're like going over. There's almost an international incident in the jungle bar in the Bahamas, man. But it was, you know, that was my 9/11. I mean, I watched the second plane fly in from my hotel room at the Atlantis Resort. And but I did. I got a couple of nice notes in my mailbox that said, on a night we needed to laugh more than the other night we've ever had. You and Kid Dave were there for us, and we appreciate it. You know,
I don't know, this weird relationship with comedy, right? What tragedy and comedy have a sordid relationship anyway. Like tragedy is like, it's not, not you got to wait. Comedy, and comedy's like, but I don't want to wait.
Right.
So there's this, it's got to drop down enough, or it's got to be far enough away. Like if it's somebody else's tragedy, far enough away. I've done Titanic jokes and watched people go, and I'm like, what, too soon? Come on.
Was it Carson said you can't do, he goes, every other joke I've been able to make people laugh, but people won't laugh at the Abraham Lincoln assassination. Like it's 200 years old, man. Well, I told you, I was doing a one-nighter and, God, it was in Virginia, like right at the top of 81 and 60. There's a, was it Winchester, Virginia. And after the show, this guy comes up and goes, he really liked your show. Very funny.
But
no, there's no but. He goes, and we appreciate you not making fun of us Southerners. And also appreciate your help in the war. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you said you're from Kentucky, and Kentucky was a non-committal state. Y'all were neutral, but a lot of your boys came over and helped us in the war. I go, are we talking about the Civil War?
The Civil War, right? We're talking, right. You're not from Korea or something. It's not,
yeah.
You're not North Vietnamese.
So, when is it over? I mean, you know, and they say, I saw this thing, this CIA agent, this lady that's a CIA agent put on, and she was talking about our, you know, that she compared, like, and she wasn't saying America was bad, but in those countries, they think they're Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, and we're the Death Star. You sure. know, it was like, you know.
Well, it all goes back. I mean, again, my tangential knowledge of all this stuff is about the same as everybody else's. I'm maybe a little more discerning about how I accept what's coming in, but the whole thing about America, you know, going into Kuwait and establishing a foreign base in a Muslim country, and that turning Saudi Arabians, the more extremist Saudi Arabians against, suddenly making it aware, like it's real, like America is a real thing right here.
Right.
Back it. You know, so they basically upped our presence in a way that made it real enough that we became a real enemy instead of a mythical Death Star. Right. And so they're like, right. Hey, they're not protecting themselves. Guess what? Here's a way to do something.
Right.
And that's what it is, right? That's war. That's if they think they're at war with us, that's what they do.
Well, that's what my buddy was like. A couple of my friends are, this is, you know, the 12 soldiers or 13 soldiers that died in the pullout there over there in Afghanistan. And they're all, I go, hey, man, you didn't post when the other 62 people died during the Trump administration, how big a tragedy it was. And how big of, you know, how big an asshole, you know, America is, or the president was. I go, we're in a war. People die in a war. Why are we in this war? I never thought we should be in Afghanistan in the first place, but we are. So people are going to die. Did you think we were going to get out of there with no?
Well, Afghanistan is literally an American. If you look up the literal translation of the world, of the word, it translates into target range. Like, hey, it's a big desert, man. It looks like a good place to, you know, get rid of some of these armaments and resupply them. What do you think?
Hey, man.
I can't see any other reason why we were there for 20 years.
I don't know anybody.
Kind of Biden said it at some point. He's like, yeah, you're really that upset about the women's rights and all that stuff in Afghanistan. Take a look around, because there's a lot of that in the world.
Yeah.
Should we go invade these other places too? Yeah. Is that what we're after? Or should we do... Yeah. The logical thing, which is pressure them and all these kind of things you can do without bombs.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just, everything is just
all right. Well, let's fix
go
it.
By it, you know.
Let's fix it. Let's fix right. the 9/11. How would you do the 9/11 anniversaries then? straight stand up, like every stand up has to do their bit. Yeah,
everybody has to do a Bud Light joke. I said a Bud Light. You know, I mean, I feel bad. You know, it was a terrible thing. But I mean, and you know, we for you know, you, if you want to remember it or whatever, do. But also, you know, maybe remember, you know, how we fucked up too. You know, what we did afterwards, what we did before. We're not this fucking perfect.
But maybe 9/11 should be an opportunity to do education. Like everybody take an hour instead of a moment of silence. How about a moment of studying the historical record of what we actually did in Afghanistan? You know, something like that.
Yeah. I don't know how you, cause there was, you know, a lot of innocent people died. So sure. You have to memorialize them. And I do, but to
3,000 compared to how many innocent people died in the wars afterwards.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So you remember them and go, oh man, this was, you know, the Falling Man. Listen to that damn Steel Driver.
Oh my God. That was awful. I read there's an essay about the Falling Man. I never realized what it was or heard about it until like maybe 6 months ago. And I looked at that and I'm like, that is the most intense image of a human being I've ever seen. It's
the craziest thing. The Steel Drivers, you know who the Steel Drivers are? They were Chris Stapleton's band, and then Chris Stapleton left. And they got a guy that is just as good as Stapleton. They're kind of a bluegrass type of unit. And they got a song on the most recent record about the Falling Man. And it just tears me up, man. It's just, you know, I mean, so those guys, yeah, you have to remember them. But don't use it as a political... You know, don't use it.
Everything's going to that again, like we talked about at the beginning, or maybe we were talking about this beforehand. The right has figured out turn everything into politics. There's always political juice in it. Right. And it's to me, it's unethical rhetoric. It's using things that probably shouldn't be used politically, but that's not going to stop now. They're right. Using everything. They're using every way to block the left and the liberals. And so everything now has political potential. So you can't turn off that, you know, that genie is out.
You never knew my father, but this is a quote from my father, Dan Lawrence. You cannot save and change the entire world. And I was like, oh, yes, I can. If they will just listen to me. I got this.
Sure.
I got this. So
yeah. Well, and that second part of that statement of if they would just listen to me is kind of where I work. Let me show you how to make them listen to you versus the Lawrence, which I still super admire the Lawrence approach, which is, I'm going to yell at you and then threaten to hit you and then maybe even hit you.
Yeah, you know. But I'm a man of peace.
You are a man of peace. Weirdly enough, that is so funny. All right. So we got the 9/11 thing went on. Holyfield. Did you watch the Holyfield fight that Trump called?
No.
He literally never landed a punch.
That's sad. Why would you do that? And you know what? Find the next George Foreman grill. You know, the Holyfield hot dog cooker. He's older than me, right? Is he 60?
He's 58. He's our age.
He's my age, yeah.
Right?
I almost got my ass kicked by a drunk at the bar. I'm not, who did he fight? Silva or somebody?
Yeah, it was like an MMA guy,
right?
Yeah, who just pummeled him and then he fell in like 30 seconds. It wasn't really a fight. So, but I do like the idea of old people fights.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even like all the way down to the end, you know, like maybe that's what we need. Like, you know, deathbed fights, like just dragging themselves. Cause it would be a victory to lose if they killed you. Right.
Well, you know, that's my speech at the bar when I'm getting ready to get in a fight. Is look, man, my brother died of cancer. My mom died because of cancer. My dad died of cancer. To die in a bar fight would be glorious for me. A drive-by shooting, bring it on. I just don't want to sit there and rot, you know.
You're like the Lieutenant Dan of bar fights. Remember when he gave that speech about my grandfather died, your grandmother died, not supposed to die, and you didn't leave me there.
Yeah, exactly, man. But, you know, you're talking about the old people. Did you ever see the fight of Joe Capp? Joe Capp was he was a Cal graduate. He was a legend in Canadian football. And then after Canadian football, he came and he was like the quarterback for the Vikings before Fran Tarkenton. Fran Tarkenton replaced Joe Capp. I think.
Well, it seems like the only person who was ever the Vikings quarterback was Fran Tarkenton. Been there like 90 years from the beginning of the league until like last week.
Anyway, there's great video of this online. It's like he's getting an award and for the Canadian football. And he's like 80. And he's up there and he's like one. And there's another guy on stage that they had had a rigmarole back in 1962 or something like that. And they both got like four prong canes, you know, I mean, and a walker, and they get in a big brawl on the stage of this award show. It's the greatest thing you've ever seen, man. Just like, you son of a bitch. And it's in total slow motion.
Right. There's so much. I mean, there's that video of, you've seen it on YouTube, of like four Ukrainian old guys out in front of a building. And they're just like, every time they throw a punch, they can't stop. And they're, I would watch that all day long.
It's funny, but it's also, it's coming. oh my God.
But that would be something to look forward to. Well, I got to start my fight career now. I'm 90.
Yes.
You know, means I can legally take a swing at anybody as long as there's a camera phone nearby.
Right. Yeah, man. Like, sponsored by Soylent Green.
Right?
Huh?
Right. The law should change for every decade you grow older. Like by the time you're 90, all the drugs are legal.
Yes.
You know, you say anything you want at any time. You can take swings at people. You're 90.
Well, that's kind of the way you are anyway.
we'll let you get away with it. Sure. But it should be
I'm going
to bring my 90-year-old grandfather with me and cause some shit.
I went to the nursing home one time and my mom is eating with a plastic fork. But this is actually my sister did this. And they're like, why are you eating with a plastic fork? And the nurse is like, because she jabbed me with her fork when I tried to take her food away. So they've made her eat with plastic utensils. My mom was just like, look, I'm not done with that. Ka-ching! So, you know, 87. Yeah, you earned the right. How much are you going to, you know?
Yeah. So that's our next idea, is new laws every decade over 60. We're getting close, man. We should be able to something new at 60, something to look forward to. What else happened this week? Norm MacDonald died. I did a whole episode, I don't know if you saw it, with Eddie Feldman, who knew him pretty well. Right. We did a Requiem for a Comedian episode, and it was fun hearing the stories. It sounds like he was exactly who you think he was.
This Cody showed me this thing, this Nashville guy told Norm that his buddy was having a trouble, and his buddy was a good joke writer and, you know, wasn't a much of a performer or something. And Norm, and this was like right at the beginning of the pandemic, sent this thing, and you could tell he was a little gaunt and a little pale and everything. And it was just great, you know, bit of advice. And he included this joke of the joke about the turtle in the bar, and, you know, and I thought it was just such a nice thing. And he goes, look, man, you have a skill. You can't quit comedy. You can quit the acting. You can quit all that. But don't ever quit comedy, because it's the greatest thing in the world, you know. And it was just, it was really touching. Sorry.
Well, and here we are on our podcast showing our comedy skills.
Right. You know,
you and I both are like longtime club standups that we no longer get to the clubs.
Right. Which that may change. I may be going to do a club.
Really? Where at?
A new club in St. Louis. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. A friend of mine said, hey, I know you're used to being a headliner, but I need somebody to feature for me. And going to this club, you want to go? And I'm like, yeah. I go, I hadn't been on stage in like, in a club in, shit, 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Said,
what are you going to do? What's going to be your stuff? You're going to be talking about your wife and her being pregnant with other pregnant ladies orbiting around her?
Yeah, I might. You know, I could give the young people the advice. I could flip it and make it an old guy show. You know what I know? Same jokes. Yeah, nobody's seen, you know. I got some new stuff, but, you know, who knows? I don't know. We're going to see.
That sounds fun. Why not? Go do it.
Yeah, man. I'm totally going to do it if it works, if it happens, you know.
I saw Norm a lot here. He came to Austin a lot and was clearly, you know, just a lot of the bigger name comics will come through here and work on stuff. So he's clearly not really caring too much about what was going on. But he was working through material and just so much fun to watch that guy work through stuff on stage. And it was just, you know, he's quick and clever and just, right on it.
I loved his show. Did you see his talk show? You ever see his talk show?
The one where he produced by himself, like, you know, we'd have like
It was him and the guy from the Comedy Store. I forgot his name.
Video News Network or something. Yeah.
I thought it was just on A&E or something. And it was just him and a guest, and they would pull a Coke out of the Coke machine. And he had like, I didn't know him. This is a great thing. I don't know how he became best friends with Billy Joe Shaver. They were like, and he was like, this is my best friend, Billy Joe Shaver. Billy Joe Shaver, this old grizzled guy who, you know, pretty much had the whole outlaw country thing stolen from him by, you know, way.
Oh, yeah. He lived it. Everybody else was just acting it.
Right. And it was.
Didn't he get arrested for stabbing somebody or something?
Probably. I don't know, man. I just, you know, I always loved his songs, you know. And yeah, so, I mean, I was like, this is a great show. And he interviews, I think it only lasted like a half a season, like, you know, 10 episodes or something, but it was good. He's such a funny, when he was on the news, man.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's like the one time he just went beer cures AIDS next door or whiskey or something like that. You know?
Yeah. He had that sense of absurdity of, and he was a really good writer. So like you could appreciate him from many different angles.
Right.
You know, and I don't really think he had a weakness. He knew a really good joke. He knew how to deliver that joke and stay in the bucket. Like when he was on Conan all the time, retelling all those old jokes and just adding in all the trail getting there. It's like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. He was so good, man. And to hide cancer for 9 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty unreal. You know, I know a little bit about cancer. I've seen cancer in my life and in my friends and family's life. And that is, I don't know if it's, well, it's the way he went out, the way he wanted to go.
You have to, as a comedian, it becomes your whole identity. Like, it's too much tragedy mixed into your character.
Right.
Everybody's concerned about you instead of, you know, kind of.
Yeah, somebody told me that I didn't see it. I was on the road, but when Dennis Wolfberg came to Zany's at the last of what was going on with him, that it was like more of a tragedy club than a comedy club because everybody knew and he looked terrible and it was, you know.
Yeah, that's
another great comic. You know, I'm not bad-mouthing Wolfberg at all.
Wolfberg was a great comedy writer, crazy character.
Yeah,
all sorts of things. Like when you actually look back at what happened the week before, I've got like 30 stories here, and every one of them seems like, oh my God, that was huge for 24 or 48 hours. Like Nicki Minaj anti-vaxxer post that she did about her cousin's friend's testicle. swelled up because of the vaccine, and just that line of logic. He was at a wedding and found out that his cousin's friend's testicle had swollen up. So hey, watch out there.
Exactly. Oh my God. Well, did he jerk off? Because that, you know, that's what I would have done.
I don't know. Like, was the testicle useless? Was it just big? Yeah.
A giant.
Big is big? Like, are we talking lemon? Well, are we talking grapefruit?
To quote Dabney Coleman, I got balls the size of church bells. So I don't know. Big ones.
When did Dabney Coleman say that?
Wasn't Dabney Coleman? And was Dabney Coleman the bad guy in that terrible remake of Dragnet with Dan Aykroyd?
Oh God, I never saw it, but probably. Yeah, he probably would be.
I know somebody said that son of a bitch is getting balls the size of church bells. And I've always liked that. Dong dong.
That's an image that you've carried with you, and I'm gonna hold on to that one because that'll be useful at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Dabney Coleman. I'm a damn fine looking man. And what was that in?
It's just so funny to hear people like Nicki Minaj, who will take some type of informative stance, like they'll get out of entertainment, which is their forte. She can sing and dance and show off. Great. But then they step over into things that like aren't their world at all. Like you would never see Tony Fauci showing up at the Grammys to do a performance of his latest hip hop in a thong. And twerking and, you know, grabbing his crotch because he knows it's out of his lane, man.
Well, unfortunately, unfortunately, we will never see. And I like how you called him Tony. Like you,
Tony, my boy.
Tony, babe. Look, and the new bit we're going to do.
Right. Hey, it's like the Hollywood. Tony, hey, I've seen your stuff, man.
But here's the problem with that, and I agree with you totally. But then when the somebody like, let's just say, De Niro or Springsteen or somebody says something political on the right, everybody goes, yeah, I've never needed a plumber, you know, an actor, or, you know, why don't these Hollywood types just shut up? But then you got Rush Limbaugh was a damn sports announcer. He was like the minor league Kansas City Royals, you know. You know, these guys have no degrees in politics. I used to, the guy that died, Phil Valentine, I used to do his morning show when I was in Nashville. You know, and he was just a failed AM guy, a failed FM guy. He just said, you know what, I'm going to become a conservative.
He's like, where Tim the competition Slagle. Is lighter.
Right. You know, Tim Slagle, he's a big conservative talk guy now, right? He used to just, you know, he used to come to Zanies with different colored hair and rolling his own cigarettes. He was just a fucking comic. Now I'm supposed to, you know, but he might have good opinions. It's not,
well,
it's,
the thing is, not, like, but when you get into that sort of quasi news space, you know, it holds onto some hue of the news and it holds onto some hue of information. Well, it's neither. It's literally just a drama that they're building.
Right, but isn't
it playing a villain character?
But it's my responsibility to go, hey, it's Nicki Minaj.
Right. You're trying to go, hey, no. No news, no, none of this. Like, just look at it as entertainment.
Right.
And if you don't like the show, fine. You know, yeah,
that's what I do. You know, I think you gotta go, you know, I've never looked at anybody's advice on YouTube and taken it seriously unless it was how to paint the fender of a Jeep, 97 Jeep Wrangler.
Exactly.
Show me doing that, you know.
That's the information level that works really well. Like, Zeke taught himself how to do video editing and special effects for free on YouTube.
Right.
And like, when it's a very specific yes or no, it's true or not, it works or it doesn't, then yes, that's what it's great for. Opinion, like, why not go to, if you want really good opinion, why not go to the people who know something about what they're talking about? The fact that we're all talking about Nicki Minaj, you know, and her opinion on vaccinations,
yeah,
it's crazy. Like, would you go, when we build bridges like this, we're like, okay, we have an engineer here and we got Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki doesn't think we need more than two suspension cables.
Nicki Minaj said, fuck expansion joints. We don't need
that's
those.
A conspiracy. That's just to make it cost more. That's liberal.
They just want to make it scary when you go across that bridge when you see that little expansion joint. I agree. You know. But then you get in that, don't take away my free speech. I'm not taking away your free speech. We want you. Nicki Minaj can say whatever we want. What we want is you to be more.
It just needs to have labels. It's kind of like going to the movies. You don't just watch movies. You know what kind of movie you're getting into because right. It's got a label. Like, we even have rating systems on movies. We have rating systems on commentary. Like, right. This is S for stupid. Like, okay, so yeah, she's going to say a lot of stuff, but she has no training whatsoever, so it's rated S for stupid.
This is an NM for Nicki Minaj.
And then it'd be okay. You can free speech as much as you want, but I think it has to have warning labels on it. Like, expect stupidity ahead, you know? Right.
Well, that's that's the worst thing about the internet. You know, the internet's great about some stuff, but I've always said it's the devil and God at the same fucking time. You know, it's getting all this information, but it's also got all this information, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the Long Island, the plane went down off of Long Island. It was like some, like, Pierre Salinger or somebody was like, we have proof that it was a terrorist attack. I mean, somebody was like 80 who didn't understand, you know, and it was, you know, and he goes, I read it on the internet, or I heard it on the internet.
Right, right.
You heard it on the internet. That's your proof? Come on, man.
Well, the internet, the cool thing about the internet is that you don't have to have any credentials to speak, right? You can get on into the public forum now. But just imagine trying to do any other public format in that way. Like, I've been posting lately, the NFL season just restarted. So I keep noticing, like, how hard it would be to run the NFL if you had the right invading the NFL. So, like, if you're in the booth and you're saying, yeah, Mahomes completes a pass, you know, for 42 yards. And then the other announcer's like, Mahomes was intercepted. Can't you see that that was a complete interception? If you had warring announcers, then you could never watch the game. And that's essentially what's happened is we have warring announcers. And one side just makes shit up.
Yeah.
So there you go. What else is going on? Anything you noticed from the week? Anything that popped out with you? You don't pay attention to the news, do you?
I used to, but I don't really listen. I mean, I don't have a TV right now. I've been moving and busy. I know there's like, you know, that some girl that's missing, and all these guys had these three dudes at the bar the other night talking about her, going, well, I believe this happened. The guy's being railroaded. I go, if there's a guy involved, he did it. He killed her. Don't worry about it.
It does always seem to be the
story. It's, you know, she didn't dissociate, and it's not some scheme. He fucking went crazy. If he was being crazy before and being possessive, you know, then he went crazy and he killed her. Just, you know, I mean, you could debate it all you want, but that's what's going to end up happening.
You could literally just do a podcast just on the murders that happened that week. I mean, there's a lot of people who do like podcast deconstructing famous murders and cases.
Oh, I love, like I listen to my favorite murder all the time.
That's, yeah, but like, let's just go with just this week.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy who, I think it was in Georgia, who had turned himself in, and he had paid somebody $10 million to kill him. So his son could collect the insurance. But his wife and kid had disappeared or been murdered like 6 months prior, and he wasn't indicted in this. And I'm like, do we see that murder is kind of circulating around this guy? That maybe we
is it the guy? Is it the attorney in North Carolina or something?
Let me see if I can.
There's some weird story going on over there, or Virginia.
I thought it was Georgia, but yeah, I think that's what we're talking about, the same thing.
Is that what's going on? I see blips of it, and then I'm like, you know.
Yeah, all I have is the headline, man paid man to kill him for $10 million insurance. Murder's clearly natural to human beings, and it's, what are we going to do about murder, Lawrence? How are we going to fix that?
You're not.
Can we allow one murder every 25 years for you? Like, everybody gets to murder one person every 25 years.
Am I included in the people that get to be murdered?
Anybody can be murdered, and everybody gets one murder every 25 years. Free murder.
Free. When's it start?
I don't know. Now.
Do you get to murder somebody from when you're 1 to 25?
Yeah, I think so. And like,
so you get you three get murders one, you get in your lifetime, you. Basically, mostly.
Yeah. Four murders or three murders or whatever. So, yeah.
Is it after the 25 years, or does it start anytime in there?
I like how you're looking into the contractual details.
You're right, exactly.
Crazy.
He's like, you know, if I'm like sitting on year 25 and it's the last day of the year, I'm like, I gotta get my murder out.
Bam. I think they roll over. I think your murders have to roll over.
They roll over?
Yeah. So, like, if you got two, maybe saved up for your 25 to 50. Because he got the divorce thing in those years. So that would be useful.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I've been angry. I've been really angry. But I swear, I cannot. The only time I think I, you know, and I've been angry.
Angry, but Lawrence.
But I can't imagine any time where I want to kill somebody. I mean, I want, you know.
Okay, so maybe not kill them. Maybe we pick them up, we kidnap them, and drop them off in some foreign country somewhere as some type of indentured servant, and they have to do that for a few years.
Right, I could do that.
To punish them. For their horrible behavior.
I'm all in for that. yeah, man, I just...
We can sell one person into slavery every 25 years, then, I guess, is the...
Yeah. Are you seeing my dog down here? He just got off the thing. No, he's going outside. He's had enough.
Maybe murder that's every 25 idea. Years. Not sell them into slavery, give them into slavery.
Yeah, give them all. Yeah. I think maybe every 25 years, if it's a guy, you should be able to put a long, thin glass stir stick down their wiener and then bash it with bricks.
Where did you come? You've clearly thought about this.
Full circle. That's the one that guy made me go to the principal's office every day when I was in Mike Chandler's in this store. We got caught sneaking out by me and Kevin and Mike Chandler.
If anybody wants to find out Mike Chandler, just Google Mike Chandler in Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky.
And you'll hear.
But we used to, we were passing these notes. We all got caught by Kevin's dad out at like 5 a.m. Like we were in the 8th grade. We all snuck out and were fucking stealing Christmas lights and stupid shit like that. We got caught and we thought it was hilarious. So we would pass these notes back and forth in 8th grade, and it would be little stick figures, me, Mike Chandler, and Kevin O'Brien, and then a station wagon, because Mr. O'Brien drove a station wagon, and then a stick figure with a mustache and glasses, that was Kevin's dad. And it was always the punishment we were getting for sneaking out. And one of them, we were all tied to the top of the station wagon. It was going through a tunnel and our heads were getting knocked off. And the one I drew, the one that the principal caught, was Mr. O'Brien putting a glass tube down our wieners and bashing it with bricks. And the fucking principal caught us. And that's why I had to report to the principal's office for the last 2 months of 8th grade, every day. What do you do today, Lawrence? And then it kind of, by the end of it, where I was like, I punched somebody. And they go, Lawrence, we know you didn't punch anybody. I go, okay, well, you know what I did. You'd already heard what I did. What do you want to talk about? I was like, when I went to the... I was in high school. I had to report to the guidance counselor. We're in there smoking cigarettes together. He's having the parliaments. I'm having the van.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, by the end, it's like your joke of corrupting your personal trainer, right? Right. Exactly. You and the principal are sitting there drawing wieners and what can be done to them. And
exactly.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, murder. I don't know, man. That's
But it's weird because it seems like that's such an extreme experience. Clearly, like, it's not one of the experiences that nobody wants to enjoy or endure in the culture, but it's so normal. It happens constantly.
Hey man, I know 6 people that were murdered. That's crazy. Over the years, I was, I listened to that My Favorite Murder a lot. And one day I was like counting up how many people
I know
they got murdered. I'm like, man, I know 6 people got murdered.
I don't know if I've ever counted. That's so who are the 6?
Well, Randy's my best friend's dad. Shane Smith on my rugby team.
He was murdered for what?
They think somebody was breaking into his hotel room in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and he came out of the shower and the robbers shot him with a shotgun.
In Hopkinsville, Kentucky, naked in a hotel room, death by shotgun. Awful way to go. Awful.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But, I started counting. I'm like, man, I know an inordinate amount of people that have been murdered.
So a rugby guy on your rugby team?
Guy on my rugby team killed by his former best friend who was a meth head. I know you met Shane playing rugby maybe or coming to some of the rugby parties or something. He was he was bigger than life. He lived in Glasgow, Kentucky, and his friend was a meth head. And his meth went freaked out. Because Shane was going to kick him off his property. He said, I don't want you around my kids with the meth. And then he came over and killed Shane. A friend of mine, Craig Dieter, and his son were in that fucking awful mass shooting in the township outside of Akron, Ohio in 2002 or 5 or something.
I don't even remember that one.
Oh, it was terrible. I knew a lady here at the dog park who was like an attorney, and she had a small show on, I forgot. It's like a reality show where she was an attorney for a little bit. Her boyfriend killed her. The girl that used to sell us beer at the convenience store. Here's the one I've been listening to My Favorite Murder. And I'm thinking, cause she moved to San Francisco area in 1970. Cause we were buying beer. We were like 16. So it would have been like 78. And that's the time of the Golden State Killer and Ramirez and all that guy. She got raped and killed in California. You know, everybody's like, oh, did you hear what happened to Heavy Evvy? And we're like, oh shit. You know? So I'm like, I wonder if that she may have, you know, huh? If there was, it'd be a fun thing for one of those researchers, those sleuths, did she get killed by one of those nuts, you know? And then I met fucking Cato Kaelin. I had drinks. You remember who Mel Ignato is?
I know the name.
He's the guy in Louisville, or he lived across the river in Indiana, and he burned his girlfriend up and all this crazy shit, and he got away with it. Uh-uh. And I was sitting and waiting for my little sister at a bar one time at the bar next to Kingfish. I forgot what it is down on the river, River Rat Bar. And I'm sitting down there drinking. And I sit at the bar by the next to this guy and I'm talking. Nobody's around us. And he says something and he gets up and walks away. And I'm waiting for him. And this guy goes, you know who you were just talking to? I go, no idea. Because I wasn't living in Louisville at the time.
Sure.
He goes, that was Mel Ignata. And I go, who's Mel Ignata? He goes, he killed his girlfriend. I go, well, I wasn't involved. You know?
Well, he's not my type. So
I've lived my life murder adjacent since the eighth grade.
Six, huh? I wonder, I'll have to add up. I know there's one big spectacular murder that I knew the guy. Like it's been on featured on like 40, like all those shows. Like it's right. One of those. He was a professor I had at UT in grad school, and his name was Fred Jablin, and his ex Piper, I think was her name, lost her shit and drove across country.
The pee girl that wore the diaper.
I think that's what I was going to say because it went that big. I'll have to look it up if that's the actual one. But she knocked on the door. He opened it, and she shot him in the face. And
Jesus,
yeah.
See, that's the.
Let me see if that may have been the diaper girl. Let me check real quick. Keep talking about murder.
Well, I mean, it's like I could see myself like having second degree homicide, where you just rage out and punch somebody so hard that it not, you know, hits their nose the wrong way or whatever, or they fall and hit their head, but. To drive, you know, somewhere between exit 52 and exit 152, I go, what am I doing, man? Maybe I just need like a donut. I need to stop and chill out, you know? Just what is the rage going on in you that just, I got to get, you know, and you keep going, man. That's what, is your life so bad? You know, it's that whole, you know, I don't get it. I can get the spontaneous, you son of a, you know, the drive-by, the fucking road rage. I get that. But premeditation, I don't get.
Well, it's one of those things, I think, when human beings switch, when their brains switch, like when it's gone, when that when those neurons that stop you from doing crazy shit are gone, they're gone.
Yeah,
and if you still have those neurons, you have that network that protects you from the crazy thoughts you have.
Right.
Then, yeah, it looks like that is the definition of crazy, right? They've lost the normal neurology and they can now do stuff like this. So she was not the one who wore the diaper. She was, that was a different one. That was a astronaut or something.
Yeah, it was like an astronaut or something. Yeah,
no, this was just another one who, I'll have to send you the link because it was a pretty intense story. So yeah, there's a bunch of murders this week, as per usual. There's always murders. And then the celebrities were up to their same old crazy shit. Like Chrissy Teigen talked about getting fat removed from her cheeks this week.
But she found it. I mean,
she has a round face. She has kind of a round apple face.
Right.
And I think she got tired of that. And so she had it sucked in. I wonder, are they selling the fat?
I was going to say. My favorite kind of ramen is the pork cheek fat ramen noodles. That's a good stuff. Vegan
pork cheek fat.
Yeah, she should have sold that at the pho store.
She could be a ramen flavor.
Ooh, Christy Teigen.
That's some Teigen cheek.
That's a Teigen. I have the Teigen cheek ramen.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Celebrities should sell their, you know, fat and things like that as products.
Now, in her defense, have you ever bit into the fat and this inside of your mouth? That hurts like a bitch.
Whenever I do that, I think to myself, it must really suck being eaten. Ugh. Like in the wild. Can you imagine? Just the
no.
Like those incisors from a leopard just sinking into your neck.
No, you're killing me. I mean, you bite and you hear that, and you're like, oh.
And that's just one little with flat. Yeah. I mean, imagine you're like a real predator digging into you.
You can hear it going through each layer of your cartilage, and just please get my jugular first and let me bleed out. I don't want you to. He got eaten from the toe up.
Slow eating. It's a slow. He got attacked by a slow eating jaguar, and those are the worst. Or like a snake. like a big boa constrictor swallowing you while you're still.
He's up there. You're like, please, can we reconsider this?
Didn't John Voight get eaten like that?
What was that, Anaconda?
Ice Cube or somebody?
Ice Cube. Yeah.
Then they puked him back up. I remember that somehow. In the, I never watched it, but I was like, that is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The, well, and then there's the jaw scene when Robert Shaw is getting crunched, and he's like.
And the blood comes out of his mouth.
Yeah. That was the most fake but still horrifying thing I've ever seen. Like, clearly bit down on a blood capsule.
Right.
But, and it was clearly not a real shark at that point. But it was almost scarier because this animatronic was killing him. Like,
I kept
like
going,
Yeah. One of the other celebrities, this guy, this is a very weird story because it became Hollywood, but the real life Hotel Rwanda guy, Paul Rusenbager or whatever his name is, was convicted of being in a terrorist group by the Rwandan government. So they're basically, they kidnapped him because he's a Belgian citizen now. They kidnapped him, drug him back to the country, and now they've convicted him in a trumped up trial.
I saw a blurb. I thought the guy died or something.
No, he's
so been- the bad guys kidnapped him and brought him back. And they're going to.
Yeah, they just convicted
him. Was he the tall tree or was he the, I don't remember in the.
No, he was, you know, Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. But I know, but I remember in the movie, they were like, the signal was it's time to cut down the tall trees. And I can't remember the tall trees, the good guys or the bad guys.
He wasn't a tall tree. He was
the tall trees kidnapped him.
He was with the bad guys. Ostensibly, he was the right tribe to not kill. In the movie,
but he was like Schindler.
But he was a good guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not everybody in that tribe agreed with the policy of kill off all the other tribe.
So now is Belgium going to do something to Rwanda?
Apparently, nobody's doing anything to help him at all. Like nobody.
We're just. I got nothing to do next week. Who's got a gun? This could be my chance.
What Don Cheadle's doing about this? Like, yeah. I wonder if he's like, oh man, that was my best role.
He needs that damn exoskeleton suit he wears in Iron Man. He'd go over there and kicks it off.
There's the solution. Don Cheadle shows up in Rwanda. Boom.
You know that the way they always land with one knee down, he looks up.
Yeah, machetes bouncing off of him.
Here come the tall trees, motherfucker.
Machetes.
Yeah.
Which one of the things I will say about that movie, it did show us that you don't need guns to do some real damage.
Oh, man, I saw that movie. The woman behind me was sobbing for 50 minutes. I'm like, hey, man, it's okay to leave. You don't have to stay. Okay, leave. I'm like, I would go if I was that. I mean, I'm verklempt right now, but I'm not sobbing for an hour. It's okay. Go. It's not going to get better. This is what this movie is, man.
Some of them get away. And right, the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's hard to watch. I had two experiences like that. I went to Blair Witch and some guy had his 5-year-old in there with him. And the kid was like, I want to leave. I want to leave. And the guy was not going to leave. And finally the kid's like, I got to poop. And at that point, what are you going to do? Yeah. He wins.
Yeah. You pull the poop card. That works in all situations.
Yeah.
Time out. No, we're out of timeouts. I'm pooping. Okay, time out.
So the kid won. And then I went to the re-release, the remaster of the original Star Wars. And there was a kid sitting behind me with his dad. And the kid was clearly freaked about like everything, loved everything Star Wars. And so every time a character would appear on screen, he would read off the bio in his head of, oh, that's Boba Fett, and Boba Fett is done. And I turned around to the guy. I'm like, is he going to do this whole movie? He's like, yeah, I'm sorry. He goes, but yeah, he's a Wikipedia page.
I took my ex-wife before we were married. Me and Laura Kay went and saw Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. Holy crap, man. And, you know, Siskel and Ebert were like, it's great. It's dark, but it's great. And I was in Laura's sob, and I go, hey, man, let's go. She's no, I don't want you to. I go, you know, he's killing people and chopping their heads off. And I go, I don't think it's going to get any better. And it's 40 minutes in. We don't have to stay.
But well, you don't really realize like the buttons those movies are pushing until you bring like a kid in. Like I took Quincy to see the Piglet movie, and she was maybe 4 or 5, and some bees started chasing Piglet, and she's like, "No!" I'm like, "The bees aren't going to catch Piglet. It's not, you know, 5 minutes in they catch him and they murder Piglet.
Just murder hornets all over Piglet.
Death of Piglet." But she couldn't handle it. Like the drama of worrying about her favorite characters was too much. So there you go. All right. Well, we're going to end right there on the death of Piglet, the impending.
Poor Piglet. Poor it was Piglet. A blustery day.
It was a very blustery day because of all the hornet wings. well, this is super fun, man. You got to come back and do this again. Because
anytime, my friend, anytime.
All the good Lawrence energy here is super fun to hear. So
well, cool, man.
And the hat, you know.
Hey, next time I'll wear the red one. Look, I do have hair, y'all.
I think I've done
a thick shock of hair.
I've done almost 100 of these now, and I have one woman wear a head wrap, but you're the first hat.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, I did just get out of the pool. I could slick it back and give myself a pompadour or something.
What the hell, man? You've got every hair that you started with.
I'm getting new ones, man. I don't lose them. I don't lose hairs at all. I got none on my body.
Hair. You have two super human areas of
right. My calves and my hair, man. That's my only redeeming quality.
Thunder Thor-like calves and that thick mane of right. Irish Celtic hair.
I'm just looking for that girl on Bumble goes, I want a man with big calves and nice hair. That's score.
Dude, that's got to be the first thing in your profile. It's like big calves, nice hair. What else do you need?
I should just take them. That should my profile picture should be my calf. Maybe I'll switch it.
You can only put one in there at a time, though.
Exactly.
It won't. Yeah. Unless you want to get like the 70mm panoramic.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have Tarantino shoot my calf picture.
All right, sweet. Well, this has been Comedians Fixing America. I think we fixed some things. We probably caused some problems too, but that's what you get when you let the comedians at the controls of America. We will see you again next week. Thanks again, Lawrence.
Thanks, man.